You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. 803 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Q-Dog's been here a couple of times, and he wants to talk about Carlos Correa.
Let's go.
Let's get him in here. Hey, Q-Dog, pay that man. That man his money or no?
What's that?
Pay that man his money?
Yeah, you know, I think they should pay him. I mean, don't get crazy with it. But also, I don't want Carlos to get greedy because if I was Jim Crane, I would remind Carlos Correa of the two other guys that got greedy and left. You know, Gerrit Cole and Springer. You know, what happened to them? They're sitting at home watching TV. So if he wants to continue being in the playoffs and in October, you know, I'm not saying take a big discount, but, you know, definitely be reasonable with it.
But Q-Dog, here's the thing. John's had some conversations with people close to Correa. I think he is willing to give the Astros a chance, right? Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
The Astros don't have to do the same thing as another organization, I don't think. But they got to hit a certain mark.
Well, now, he even said it in that. He said, this is a business decision, man. If you know, down in Texas with the taxes, it's better than going to California. I'll take less, but I'm not, you know, it's all economics. Plus, yes, he wants to be here. Will he take extremely less than no, he ain't doing that. I know he wants to be here. I know he wants to be here, and he loves it here. He loves his teammates. He loves the, you know, I guess he still loves the organization. I don't know. He hinted in there that he's not happy with how they've disrespected him so far. It may be just rhetoric. It may be. But, yeah, I could certainly see where he'd be after the arbitration case and after, you know, the offer this offseason. You know, guys, $120 million is disrespectful. That's today's athlete. But dude is making himself a boatload. He made himself a boatload of money. He bet on himself. He made himself a boatload of money. Somebody's going to come up with stupid money, and Jim Crane probably won't match it. That's just the reality of it. Oh, well, I'm with Father TJ. Let's enjoy him while he's here. He's kicking ass. The Astros are winning. I hope he continues to hit. You know, I hope we've seen Michael Jordan. We see athletes with that, you know, that chip on their shoulder. Carlos has got that ain't a chip, man. That is a gigantic log he's got on his shoulder.
You love to have players like
that. Yeah.
Like, that's what
and
you
especially
live
especially how he nuts up. He has nutted up here in big situations. How often? I mean, you could have a chip on your shoulder, but not be able to get it done. Carlos gets it done.
See, and this is what ultimately, this is what people, and, you know, look, love Bagwell and Biggio. Came up during that era. It's just, but they don't have the same love from fans from a standpoint of, you don't have the same feeling like, man, you just knew when the playoffs rolled around, you better watch out because Bagwell and Biggio were going to kick your ass, like said no one ever. And granted, they may have been pitched. They didn't have a lot of people around. I get all that stuff. But what we love more than anything, why Kirk Gibson was a legend. The guy was hurt and hit a home run in a World Series. I mean, when you do Michael Jordan's flu game, when you do special stuff at the biggest times, when you are Robert Horry and you're a 7-point or 8-point per game scorer in your career, but you've got about 10 iconic game-winning shots in the postseason, and it's because they hyper focus. I've read a book about this with sports psychologists just talk about. There are certain guys.
Well, where's James Harden in this city?
No, and James Harden is
compared to these Astros.
Oh, James is beliked.
Yeah,
right. He's beliked.
Right,
but he's not beloved because James couldn't do this and hyper focus. And Dusty talked about it the other day. He said he sharpens his focus in clutch situations. He's able to sharpen his focus like nobody I've ever seen. He talked about that he reminds him of Hank Aaron. He was dropping Hank Aaron bombs in the game the other day. When Verducci in game, he compared him to Hank Aaron, Carlos. But Carlos's ability to hyper focus and to calm himself and calm the breathing and stay relaxed and not, because pressure is self created. There's no such thing as pressure other than what's self created. And Carlos clearly creates focus and not pressure. And I talked to his brother, JC Correa, me and Cody Stutz did. JC, who's at Asheville High A in the Astros organization, has an 833 OPS, 9 home runs, hit over 300. In talking to him, the one thing you get right away is his baseball intelligence and his focus and how he focuses at the plate. Just in talking to him about different stuff like that, the first thing you learn is that, okay, this is a family thing. Like, the Correas were taught by their dad that this is how you prepare, and he's just wired differently. And I think JC is wired differently. I don't know if he has the same athletic gifts that Carlos does. Hopefully he does. But Carlos is wired like a different dude, and that's mentally and physically, but especially mentally.
You know, and it's funny. It's not natural. I got a buddy who's close to him, and he says, man, Carlos is always, he's working on his stance. He's swinging a bat at home. He's always, he wants his mechanics to be perfect. It's not really, I don't know. I don't want to say it's not natural for him, but he works so hard. He's so laser focused, and it's never been more evident than that at bat against Rodon with two strikes. He had been watching him. He knew Rodon wanted to pound his chest again with a high fastball because he had gotten Yordan, he'd gotten Bregman, he had gotten somebody else.
He wanted
else.
To walk off the mound.
He wanted
with
to
that,
pound
with
his
that
chest
moment.
Because the fans were going crazy. He wanted to end it right there.
Remind you of poker where you read a guy, where you see how a guy is playing his hand. And yeah. that's what when you say this, it's just the same way. He's playing poker, and you see how the guy's playing his hand, and you already know what he's going to do. So you're ready to counter, and you're going to raise him over the top.
Absolutely. You know, a guy's being really aggressive, and you're sitting there with the nuts, and you check into him because you know he's coming because he thinks he's got you dominated because you're being caught. You're being, you know.
He played the hand exactly like Carlos.
That's right.
He played it.
Carlos could not have played it perfect. For him to hit that 0-2 pitch, for Rodon to come in with that pitch on 0-2, and Carlos knew it was coming, do you think he had a trash can that helped him? That's my question.
I mean, obviously. The Astros don't score runs without
cheating.
They can't score runs without cheating.
Without a trash can. LSU Brian wants to talk about Correa. What do you say, LSU Brian?
What's going on, guys? Hey, so when all of this, of course, Correa talk's been up for a few years, but, man, I was of the opinion, probably till a couple of days ago, that you make him an offer, of course, but you don't break the bank. And I don't care who you are, what your talent is, what age, I'm opposed to any 10-year, you know, deal. But what I've noticed over the last couple of days, my thought was, we can get guys that hit. Somehow the Astros pull in guys that hit. But over the last few days, I've noticed, I haven't paid attention to his defense. And guys, this Correa's defense is unbelievable. He has such range. And they were talking yesterday, I forget who it was, about Bregman, Yuli, Altuve, and Correa being the longest tenured guys, you know, could go down as the best, you know, quad in history of infield guys. And to keep all those guys together, the defense that these guys put out on the field with the double plays and everything, I'd give him the money. I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't give him 10, but, man, they got to give him some money here.
Yeah, I'm with you. The emotional side, I get it. Pay that man his money. Pay him. I'm in agreement, but not 10. You just can't. You still have to make good decisions for your team. And 10, you just don't do 10 years for anybody in baseball.
How about 7, 260?
35? Well, it's not my money.
It's not my money either.
It's not my money. 7, 260, no. I'm doing it. I'm offering it, and I think Carlos takes it. Hold on. Are you talking to us, Aaron?
No, I was just saying I would do it like that.
That's 37.
Oh yeah, that would have been 7.35 would be what two? Yeah, so
37
is
a little much. Hey,
no,
7.240.
Yeah, I mean,
that's 34.2.
34.2, okay. Yeah, I think that's the offer. I think that's all for 34 a year. Because
that's Lindor. Lindor.
That's Lindor. That's Lindor. So you go 34 a year.
That's almost seven exactly years. Lindor. Carlos, Lindor is 34-1.
Carlos, you order, this is what
you're,
we can do.
You're actually saying to him, we're giving you $100,000 more than Lindor per year.
$100,000. Oh, $100,000 more, yeah.
He's going to want more. You know that.
I don't know. That's a pretty good offer. Now, that... if that's disrespect, then I want that kind of. I want somebody.
I don't think you can see it as disrespectful.
Jim Crane. I want Jim Crane is. Jim Crane is. This is the only win he can get from a fan base is if he signs Carlos. If Carlos walks, fans.
You're still no. Fans are going to be mad. Springer walked, and you're still good.
But Carlos, everyone, no one was saying pay that man. Do you remember that? No one said pay that man. Pay that man with Springer.
No.
Nobody.
No, they said it was weird. So you can pay Carlos.
Yeah, because that was the assumption. Argument. Like, okay, you know what? Then we hang on to Carlos. We hang on to Carlos. If he loses Carlos, and by the way, this offer needs to be made public too. His offer needs to be made public.
Here's the deal: is people, you know what? If they win after Carlos goes, then everybody's going
to
go.
Well, oh no, they have to. Yeah, but they have to,
and they will win. They'll still win. 814 ESPN 97.5. You can bet on it, and you can bet on it at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. Mybookie.ag. Promo code BET90975. It's the best place to play, win, and get paid. And right now, if you've never been on there before, if you're on there right now, or if you used to be on there and aren't anymore, they will still match up to $1,000 of whatever you deposit right now. So if you're looking for a great way to double up your way to bet, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. I'm on there. There is everything that you could possibly want. NFL, college football, blackjack, major league, NBA, NHL, MMA, boxing, golf, soccer. You can bet on politics. You can bet on entertainment. You can bet on that horse race, rugby, U.S. politics, table tennis, volleyball, whatever it is. You want to bet? Win, get paid. MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. MyBookie.ag.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by GovCost, Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
The Houston Astros battle the Boston Red Sox in the American League Championship Series. And each game-changing moment can be found right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Game 1 begins Friday at 7. Now, back to the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us here if you want to get in. A lot of people wanting to get in. A lot of Astros, a lot of Carlos Correa talk. Come on in if you've got something you want to say. You're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. Who's up next? Dave wants to talk about this game. What do you say, Dave?
Hey, I'd just like to talk on the Yankees Astro supposed rivalry. Yeah, take it from a guy born and raised in the Bronx and a Yankees fan. We're not even thinking about the Astros, okay? Not really. You know, it's like the guy driving down I-10 with a Rolls Royce and a guy in a Hyundai passes by. I don't think the guy in the Rolls is worried about the guy in the Hyundai, okay? On one last thing, fellas, hey, you guys better sign Correa or he might be a Yankee. They're looking to show right up the middle. So have a good day, man. Enjoy listening to
that,
guys.
Hey, that's a real possibility. Don't think that it's not that he could become a Yankee. Secondly, though.
Like a Puerto Rican going to New York as like the love affair that the community. I was there for Puerto Rican Day.
Yeah.
The Puerto Rican Day Parade, we just happened to be there and right in the middle of it. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's all organized right here by my hotel. And it was the biggest party. I know I'd seen it on Seinfeld once, but it was the biggest party. But I was hoping, I remember when the talk was, "Pah, he'll never go there. Didi's there." And then it's like, Didi's not there anymore. Like, what about now? Oh, don't worry. Carlos can't possibly go.
Well, they hate Carlos, so no way. Oh, really?
Oh, please. They buy Okay, yeah, Johnny Damon, too. So I don't want to hear
that. Yeah, right. All the,
come on, please.
Come on, stop. Wade Boggs. I mean,
Stop. They don't hate anybody enough to not cheer.
Oh, by the
way. They hated Garrett Cole, too, when he was an Astro, and now they're cheering for
him. By the way, New York fan.
Well, they're not cheering.
By the way,
that
New
much.
York fan, with your Rolls Royce and your Honda.
Yeah, he's on the
wrong
side.
There's a better
of that.
One. There's a better analysis. How about that the Astros are your stepdad now, okay? They just, they came into the house.
Their name is Jeff.
Yeah. Jeff came into your house in 2015, and now Jeff won't, you can't get away from
he
Jeff.
He immediately started plundering your mom.
You.
He kept plundering your mom.
Yeah.
Then you're like, God,
man,
I wish Jeff would stop.
In.
You woke up, and there's Jeff coming out of your mom's room, and you thought, I thought mom was just dating Jeff. Well, Jeff's staying over now.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff's staying over. And
you
now.
You accidentally walked in with him in the kitchen, on the kitchen table.
And guess
table.
What? And here's what happened. That's right. And guess what? Jeff and your mom got married, and then Jeff and your mom had a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So you pretty much, no one even loves you anymore.
No one even loves you anymore,
Yankees.
No one has even thought about you since 2009.
No.
Okay? You've done nothing. So, yeah, I know you got all that history. Yeah, when Babe Ruth was winning you all, and Lou Gehrig was winning you all, and Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle. Boy, you
stop counting
take
those.
Credit for all that. Take credit for all that. A Honda and a Rolls Royce. You know what you are? You're a redheaded stepchild is what you are.
And we're Jeff.
Yeah. Eat that for a while.
Jeff the stepdad.
Paul is here. Hey, Paul.
Who finished this mustard? Who finished this mustard? Did you? Just pulling it right out of the trash can. And the Astros are sticking that mustard thing right in your eye, just like De Niro did the
DiCaprio.
Yeah,
go watch A Boy's Life.
Go watch A Boy's Life.
You're the kid. The Yankees are the kid in that thing. Okay,
right.
We're De Niro.
Trey, we got the nice Boy Scout suit on, all pressed up. Yours is all wrinkled. Who ate this candy? Oh, you little candy hog Yankees! We're just sitting there doing your mom, but only
whoa.
She's got to do it this way.
Yeah, that way. Because
only from behind. I don't want to see the face. One of De Niro's classic lines to this day doesn't get enough love. Those boys from Concrete, those Yankees from Concrete.
Yeah.
Good Yankee boy.
Hold on. Kent wants to respond to, what was that caller's name? I forget. The Yankee fan. Kent, what did you think of him?
I would just like to quantify and say, I am not an Astros fan in any way. I am a Red Sox fan, and I'm looking forward to a great series with you guys. However, I do believe y'all are going to win. I have faith in my Red Sox, but, you know, it's not much of a challenge for you guys. However, with that being said, I would like to say to the Yankees fan, yeah, you're driving a Rolls Royce from 1970 while the Astros are driving a brand new Honda NSX sports car. So, yeah, I think the guy at the Rolls Royce is going to look at the Honda NSX sports car and go, damn, that looks pretty nice. I'd like to be them right now.
Yeah, yeah, a brand new. Well, your Rolls Royce is all beat up and dented and... Oh, but it is a Rolls Royce. Congratulations.
It's
cost
got the roof
you a boatload a long time ago. Beat it, Yankee fan. Yeah, how are you? How is Yankee fan saying anything today?
I know, it's so funny to hear.
You
that
and
was
we
so
been...
old. You lost to the Reds. You lost to the Sox.
And they
we clobbered you.
And they kicked your ass. And by the way, we've been kicking your ass since 2015.
The Yankee fans dropping. Like, that is the most Yankee
beat it,
thing.
Yankee fan.
We're driving a Rolls Royce. You would, like, lose every year to the Astros.
Oh, yeah. But, by the way, the rest of the league is catching up to him.
I know.
Aaron Boone.
What? I mean, you buy as many people as possible. You barely develop your own. You have to buy everyone else's best players. And you still can't even get to a World Series. Like, you can't get to a World Series.
You suck.
You can't even get there.
You can't even get there. All right.
I bet I've worked on three radio stations since you've won a World Series.
Yeah.
I've worked on three radio stations since you won a World
the
Series.
Ancient history.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. All right. Let's get. What about Junk? What does Junk have to say about the Yankee caller? What do you say, Junk?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
How you doing?
Yeah, talking about the Yankees, I agree with that last cat. A Rolls Royce? Got a busted ass Rolls Royce sitting on the side of the road getting passed by a Honda ass.
Car
lost his mind.
1-877 cars for kids.
You want to donate your Rolls Royce?
Junk. He should donate that Rolls Royce.
Yeah, donate that Rolls Royce today because
we'll come
it's
haul
a
it
piece
off.
Of crap.
The Astros will come haul it off.
Yeah. We're your dad. All right, Junk, we appreciate it. Let's get Paul in here. Wants to talk about Astros and Red Sox. Hey, Paulie.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Who even likes the Yankees anymore? Like, they don't even play ball. They can't get anywhere. I'm a Red Sox fan, by the way. So, and I live in Houston, but I'm a Red Sox fan. I want to say go Sox. I'm still nervous, though, because the Astros.
You don't sound like a Red. You don't sound like you're from the New England area, though.
I'm not. I'm born and raised 2 hours east of Houston, but I live in Houston now, and I'm a Red Sox fan.
Why are you?
How did that happen?
This series, what happened to you as a kid?
Because I hate the Yankees. And when I was a kid, that's what I hate the Yankees.
I respect that. Of course, the Astros were a National League team. So, what are you, Beaumont area? I guess.
Yes, Beaumont.
Yeah. I thought the Astros owned Beaumont, John. That's what you told me. You told me we were Beaumont's team.
Yeah. No, we are Beaumont's team. Astros are Beaumont's team. I don't know what the hell's wrong with him. Something happened to him when he was a child.
Stop.
Rights to Red Sox. Stop. Out of here with the Red Sox. It's 826.
He was trying to be friendly, and you say something happened to him as a child, and then you said, out of here with your Red Sox. He is trying to be on our side.
No, he wasn't.
Against the Yankees.
But we're scared. Stop.
Red Sox hate the
Yankees.
Beat it. Yankees
hate
the Red Sox.
Red Sox fan.
That's the first time.
Texter just texted in and said, my stepson just looked at me in the car and called me Jeff.
Sorry, TJ. Sorry, Father TJ.
Wait, what did you say?
Texter just texted in and said, my stepson just looked next to me in the car and called me Jeff. That's what y'all started.
Sorry about that.
It's much better to be Jeff than the kid. That's all I can tell you. You'd rather be Jeff.
That kid was like, are you doing that to my mom? Is that what you're doing?
I'm taking you to school, son. You do the math.
I woke up in your house today.
I ain't driving you to school. Things aren't happening between me and your mom.
Guess what?
Have a great day.
Tell your third grade teacher I said hi.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Me and your mom aren't married. These teachers are still on my radar.
No,
all right, have a great day.
It's his stepdad, so they are married.
Yeah. I'm sorry if the Jeff stuff got uncomfortable in your car.
Sorry about that.
I mean, it is what it is.
All right, 828 ESPN 97.5. Time for us to talk
food
about...
Food eater.
We got Pat 40 next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll get back to the calls after that. But right now we're talking about our peeps... over at GimmeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf. He's the best. You'll love John Clay Wolf because John Clay Wolf will pay you money. John Clay Wolf will give you money for your vehicle. I don't care what kind of shape it's in, because when I sold him Frankie's car, it was a little rough. That's all I'm saying. Actually, it set the record for most dings. He counts all the dings on a car. The previous one was like 14. Frankie's was like 68. So... the strikeout record. Nolan Ryan's strikeout record ain't never going to be caught ever because you don't drive a car like Frankie does. But here's the deal. I don't care where it is, what's going on, the problems that you're having with it. It is going to be fine. All you need is John Clay Wolf. He will give you more money for your vehicle. And he says, if I can't beat CarMax or your dealer, I'm going to send you $100. That's what John Clay Wolf does every single day at GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 8:32 on ESPN 97.5. Time for Pat 40 to join the show here as he does every week. Senior writer, Sports Illustrated. You know who Pat 40 is. At BYPat40, F-O-R-D-E, on Twitter. Great follow. He gives you all your college information and more. Pat, welcome back to the show. I don't know that I've seen a better football game in a while than that A&M-Alabama game. It was so unbelievable with the way that the two teams came in. For A&M to do what they did in front of that crowd at home on that night, that was instant classic.
Yeah, that was huge. I mean, as you alluded to, I don't think anybody expected that after having seen A&M struggle so badly, especially offensively, the previous weeks, and to step up to that occasion, you know, and play that game on a level that people were hoping it would be going into the season. You know, I mean, CBS put that on prime time for a reason, because they thought that that was going to be the game of the year in the SEC, and then it looked like it lost its luster, and lo and behold, it might end up being the game of the year in the SEC. So kudos to Zach Calzada for stepping up after, you know, struggling a bit in that position, and Jimbo Fisher for having him ready and having a game plan, and really all the A&M players for playing an inspired game and finding the vulnerabilities in Alabama.
I thought Jimbo was really, really – I thought he had a great game, Pat, and you mentioned it. We talked to him on Tuesday, but what he did early in that game to get Zach Calzada not only comfortable, but also exploit the safeties, because he talked about it. He did some things from a play-calling standpoint to kind of conflict the secondary, and it created some wide-open throws. I mean, all of us could have made the throw, but Zach made them. I thought Jimbo getting off to that start, and then A-Chain's touchdown after the block punt touchdown for Alabama, just critical if you want to upset a team like Bama.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, I mean, the favorite saying these days in football is complimentary football. And it's things like that. Like you play a great offensive game, but you also then have to you have a big special teams play and some defensive stops in the red zone to hold Alabama to field goals instead of touchdowns. So, you know, they did big things in all three phases of the game, and yeah, I think it was great kudos for them for not, you know, folding or wilting after the, you know, a bit of a disappointing start, and being ready for this big occasion and rising to it.
Pat Forty with us here. He is brought to you by the 48th annual Rotary Lombardi Awards. By the way, the list of the last dozen, the finalists, has come out, and Kenyon Green from A&M, the offensive lineman, is one of the finalists. So we got that. Where does this leave? Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC championship game. They're out, right?
Yeah, unless, I mean, strange things happen, which it's been a strange season so far. So let's not say it couldn't. But I think a two-loss team that, you know, what you have to look, what would be Alabama's best wins in that situation? It would be maybe Arkansas, Mississippi, Auburn, LSU. I mean, none of those teams. I mean, Mississippi is having a very good year. Arkansas is having a much better year than expected, but it's not like you'd be beating somebody who's likely to finish the season in the top 10. So you'd kind of be a little bit strapped for quality wins, and then you'd have two losses. So, you know, I think what Alabama lost in that game was any margin for error, and now their path to the playoff goes through what I think everybody believes looks like the best team in the country, through Georgia.
Yep, absolutely. And I'm about to tell you this. I watched that Kentucky-LSU game. I don't know that I've seen – first of all, the stands were full at Kentucky, which is odd. Secondly, they are physical offensively, and they just ran all over. Now, LSU's not very good. They're just not very good defensively, especially. But defensively and offensively, they got different kind of athletes at Kentucky this year.
They do, you know, and they've recruited really well. They've kind of counter-programmed a lot of the SEC recruiting by going north to get a lot of players from Ohio and Michigan, instead of knocking heads with Georgia and Alabama and LSU and A&M and Florida in the South. And I think it's been a smart strategy. It's worked for them. And so what you're seeing, they have very good line play, as you pointed out. You know, and they've got a really good running back in Chris Rodriguez. So, you know, they will be one of the rare SEC teams that's not just completely, I think, overmatched in the trenches against Georgia. I don't think they're good enough to beat Georgia, but they're not a team that's just going to get run over or, you know, have no hope in that game, I don't think, at least to slow down the Bulldogs. Now, moving the ball against Georgia, I mean, nobody's done it. I mean, nobody can consistently drive on them. Nobody can score on them, and I think that's going to be the deal breaker for Kentucky there.
Well, and Levis, the transfer from Penn State, and boy, could Penn State have used him on Saturday. Williams came in, and I don't know how that's your backup. He couldn't hit anything, Pat. If he plays halfway decent, Penn State wins that game.
Yeah, I was there, and I mean, it was a debacle. I just, to have a backup quarterback that unprepared. And I will say, like, Kirk Ferentz was brilliant in this situation. He got to do what he loves to do, which is to punt and play defense and play field position. But to do it and punt, especially most of the game, to the one end of the stadium where they did, pinning Penn State down inside the 10, 5-yard line multiple times, it's so loud at that end of the stadium. You've got an inexperienced quarterback who's trying to call the signals, and it's just offsides, 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 or false starts. And I mean, they just melted down. So, I mean, you took an inexperienced guy and just made his job that much harder, and Penn State just absolutely was powerless to do anything in that situation.
Pat, is there a better tradition than the Iowa fans waving to the kids in the hospital?
It's pretty awesome. I can't say that there's a better one. You know, I mean, it's a really, really cool thing that, and a recent thing. And it's just, you know, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Those kids are right there and look up and acknowledge them, and everyone does it. I mean, the fans all do it. The home team does it. The visiting team does it. The officials all took off their hats and looked up and waved at them. I mean, it's a really, really cool scene. Now, the same fans then turned around and booed injured Penn State players. So, their Iowa niceness only goes so far when the game gets going again.
But were they injured players, cool though? Moment. Were they injured players, though, Pat?
Some of them, they absolutely were. Yeah.
I guess some of the booing was, yeah. And look, Pat, this is the gamesmanship. When you try to play fast or you get rolling downhill, this is nothing new that defensive players will hit the ground all of a sudden with some injuries. So that does happen too.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. And here's the funny thing. Like, Iowa rarely plays fast. They're a huddle team, but they're also a rhythm team. And I think there were a couple times when Penn State players suddenly hit the ground when it was after big plays by Iowa. They reel off a 15, 18, 20-yard play, and all of a sudden somebody's injured and they're out for like a play or two, and then they're back. And that's when you're like, okay, I think they're just trying to disrupt rhythm here. But they're also, again, you know, there were guys who were legitimately hurt who were getting booed. And I just, you know what, if you're a fan, I don't know, if your default position is they're all faking it and I'm booing all of them, you're going to be wrong sometimes, and it's a bad look when you're booing a guy who's legitimately hurt.
Is Iowa really the second best team in the country?
No. I mean, their resume is right now. You know, I mean, they've gotten good wins, and they've done impressive things. I think when it all is said and done, no, I don't think they will be. Now, they're in the Big Ten West, which is definitely the side of that conference you want to be in. I think they can continue to win there. They may get to 12-0 and get to Indianapolis, and then they may get boat raced by the winner of the Big Ten East, especially if it's Ohio State, which just has firepower that I don't think they can match. Or even if they get through that and get to the playoff, I think it could get ugly against the team there, because I just don't think they have the offensive capability. What they have got is an opportunistic team that takes the ball away, but eventually you're going to play a talented team that doesn't give the ball away, that doesn't have an injured starting quarterback, and just is far too proficient offensively for you to keep up with them.
Pat Forty is our guest. Before we let you go, I'm curious on your thoughts on how Texas bounces back after a loss as devastating as that to Oklahoma. And is that it for Spencer Rattler? Are we just into the transfer portal now? Because what a way for Caleb Williams to announce his presence.
Yeah, boy. I mean, it's a crushing loss for Texas, because I mean, you should have had that game won, and your defense just gets no stops. And I mean, the last touchdown was kind of emblematic of the collapse there, where, I mean, I'm not sure they even laid a hand on him or made him even change directions. It was just astounding, I thought, the way their defense fell apart as that game went along. But they better bounce back quickly, because Oklahoma State this week's a tough game. So, you know, there's no time for wallowing on that. You know, they look, they've showed some great flashes. I mean, what they did to get ahead by 21 points and to put that many points on the board was impressive. And what they did to Texas Tech was impressive. So they've got some ability, and they've shown it at times. Just got to, you know, there has to be more consistency of effort and execution, and there's got to be a little more toughness defensively. And as for Oklahoma, yeah, I mean, we were discussing, you know, Spencer Rattler, I think, has seen himself as basically a pro at his earliest opportunity since he was probably 17, 18 years old. And that opportunity will come at the end of the season, but would anybody want to draft him? And so then the question becomes, do you hit the transfer portal and go somewhere else? Because Caleb Williams is absolutely the guy. I mean, he came in with a huge reputation. Everybody thought he would be the guy next year. Well, he's the guy now. I mean, the way he played in that pressure situation, the long run, and then that throw he made after he stepped up in the pocket and threw the 52-yard touchdown to Mims, my word. That guy, he is a talent. And if he's ready now, then Spencer Rattler is probably ready to hit the portal.
Did have you seen the Spencer Rattler QB1 or Elite 11 video?
It was QB1.
QB1.
TV show, yeah.
Yeah, TV show where he's ripping that kid. It's not
backup quarterback.
This whole year is not a good look for Spencer Rattler.
I haven't seen it, no.
It's not. It's ugly, actually.
You know, well, here's the problem is eventually some of these guys, you guys know this as well as anybody, but sometimes you have phenom talents who have never had anything go wrong in their life, and when it does, they don't handle it well, and it can crush careers. You know, if you think that you are God's gift and suddenly it gets thrown in your face that you're not, and other people are better. Sometimes people respond to that and get better, but sometimes people crumple. And I think it's fight or flight time for Spencer Rattler right now.
Absolutely. Pat 40 every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Rotary Lombardi Awards. And once again, the final dozen are out there. We can tell you who they are in a little bit. Right now, though, we got to say goodbye to Pat. Pat, we appreciate you hanging with us. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, my pleasure, guys. Talk to you later.
It's time to talk about Scott McGrath and McGrath Pest Control and their greatness. I got the mosquito murdering system. It's awesome. It is, I'm telling you, if you've got a backyard, you've got kids, you got a pool, y'all like to hang out outside. I know it's getting a little cooler now, but there's no bad time to put in the mosquito murdering system, because we're going to have warm nights and those mosquitoes are going to be out there. You want to enjoy food out on the patio, in the backyard. You want the kids to be having fun in the pool, and yet the mosquitoes ruin it. Well, not in my house, because I got the mosquito murdering system. Look, it is awesome. It's easy. They put it in. The whole process is wonderful. And Scott McGrath will give you a great price. He's been doing this for a long time in the city of Houston. It's locally owned and operated. This is the pest control company that you want in your house. He vets all of the guys. They're awesome. You will love them. 281-469-8240. 281-469-8240. Or McGrathPestControl.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
As I mentioned, the 12 semifinalists revealed by the Rotary Lombardi Award. Kenyon Green, the offensive lineman from A&M. It's interesting. DeMarvin Leal is not a finalist.
Kenyon Green is on and Leal is off?
Yeah. Antonio Johnson has actually
Green has
more,
not had a good year.
No, nobody on that offensive line has had a good year. we'll see if he's able to. I guess everybody's talking about Tyler Linderbaum, the center from Iowa.
He's unbelievable. The videos we have of him, Dusty Dvorak reached out yesterday, and we were talking to him. He goes, dude, because we had been talking about Linderbaum. He said, I've got their game this week. He put together a video. He had his staff put together a video, like one of those highlight packages of here's three different blocks that he made, and it's going to be on the broadcast. And he asked me not to share it, but it's what it looks like. But I'll show you some of them. I'll show you the videos he pulled. He's unbelievably quick. He's unbelievably well-balanced. He's a former wrestler who's just got great leverage. He is a really talented player. I mean, that should be your winner.
Yeah. You got Darian Kennard, offensive tackle from Kentucky. I'm telling you. And ESPN was just showing some highlights from Kentucky and Florida. That offensive line is bruised. They are bruisers. I don't know if they can handle
Kennard's
Georgia's defensive
huge
line.
Too.
Yeah.
He's huge. Enormous.
They opened up so many. It was like, holy, they ran all over LSU. They can't do that to Georgia, probably. Georgia's given up 2 touchdowns all year. This is another one of those, just like Ole Miss playing against Alabama. Watch out, Alabama. Here comes Nah. This is like Arkansas going into Georgia. Look out. This is possibly that kind of game. But I'm going to tell you, that Kentucky team is physical. It'll be an interesting game. We'll see what happens. So Pat 40 brought to you every week by the Rotary Lombardi Awards. Rolando is here. Wants to talk about Carlos Correa. Hey, Rolando, how are you?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, I want to talk about Carlos Correa and what he means to Houston. We got to pay him. I hope it's not too much. That's 7 years. That y'all said that 7 years, 260. That sounded good, like, especially if he keeps on performing like he does in the playoffs, like he always does. That name was earned, not just given. He's proven it. Even when he's bad, he still, like, contributes a little bit. But his leading is, like, I put him up there with Derek Jeter. His defense is phenomenal, just like Derek. I think his batting is a little bit better, especially in the playoffs. He's up there with, for sure, him and Altuve are up in the Mount Rushmore of Houston sports. He beats out J.J. Watt. He beats out Hakeem Olajuwon. For sure, both of them do. James Harden, he got scratched off. I like to think, am I right or am I wrong? Thank you all. Have a great day.
Yeah, Derek Jeter was awfully clutch. I think Carlos is a better defensive player for sure. No question about that. Yeah, Carlos could be the captain. If he was around for as long as Jeter was with the Yankees, he would be Carlos has got a chance to be considered the greatest Astro ever. Well, and the captain, and you know, the guy that guys rally. He's taken over that captain role.
He'll never be the greatest hitter. What he'll be is
maybe the greatest
most
around.
Clutch.
Well, Derek Jeter was never the greatest hitter for the Yankees.
He's a hell of a hitter. You go back and look at his numbers. I'm like, yeah. I did it like a month ago, and I was like, holy
yeah, but don't
crap,
forget that's an organization that had Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth. And
right, but those are different generations.
Mickey Mantle and
totally different generations.
Well, yeah, but the Astros have had Jeff Bagwell and Craig Biggio, who are Hall of Famers.
Yeah,
we'll find out if Carlos can
get
there.
Yeah, but didn't I mean look? Two guys didn't succeed in the playoffs.
Yeah.
One guy's a killer in the playoffs.
Can we rewind really quick to him saying that Correa is bigger than Hakeem?
No, that's not. I can't. No. Yeah. Well, no. I didn't get to that yet, but I was staying on the baseball. Dream is
No, he's not bigger.
If you didn't grow up during the Dream era, if you didn't watch, Dream is on a different level. I mean, you want to talk about put a team on his back?
Yeah.
Dream is a guy who went to 3 Final Fours at University of Houston. Then went right over to the team. Had basically 2 different careers with the Rockets. One was when he was explosive, ridiculously talented Dream, who was the hothead, and you know he was with Ralph Sampson, his Twin Towers, and then the one who he went to Mecca, he chilled out, he became more skilled, he started working on his, and well, it was actually after the Steve Patterson thing too, but he started working on different elements of his game every offseason, and became the most unique big man maybe that's ever played the game. As far as bigs are concerned, I mean, he is the basketball player's basketball player. Have you ever heard anyone say a negative thing about Dream? Dream is one of those guys that he's not always talked about, but when he is, it's an absolutely glowing, glowing review. Michael Jordan, when he talks about him, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, LeBron, Kobe Bryant. When you heard guys talk, when guys talk about Dream, it's from a standpoint of just complete awe.
Dream is the greatest athlete this city's ever had.
Yes.
And so Carlos Correa is not that.
2 championships.
And Ricky, stop being ugly. He doesn't drive a tow truck.
Who?
Rolando, our caller.
What is he talking about?
He said, get back in your drink.
Oh, is that the guy Correa who was... What is he? Who is that? Just because the last, just
he was. Who was it? Just called?
That was Rolando.
Rolando. That's what I said.
What? Just because he made just that comment? Made I thought he was talking about like the that? Yankee fan.
No. He was commenting on that.
No,
Correa over Akeem. He said,
"Hey,
get back in your.
Why are you
truck.
Outing personal text messages? NFL. Why are you putting a group? Why are you putting them on the Gruden? That was just for you.
No one. It was for everybody.
It was a tweet.
Yeah. No. It was for everybody.
It was a text.
Yeah. Nobody knows who Ricky
is. You Grudened
him. You don't know who Ricky
but
is.
But you still Grudened him. Ricky had his stuff put out there. You Grudened him.
I didn't Gruden anybody.
You Grudened him.
It's not.
That's what it's called.
Stop. Don't say get back in your tow truck, okay? That's ugly to Rolando. I don't know what Rolando does. But you know what? Tow truck is a fine occupation, too, even though you guys are a-holes a lot of times.
You drive really crazy.
And you're drive reckless nuts. Drivers. And you block entire lanes that don't need to be blocked, okay? So stop doing that, tow truck guy. Jerks. Tyler Linderbaum is a great center, but Mitchell Desmond from Freeland U is going to be a higher pick.
Nope, that's a delete that one. Those aren't real people.
What are you talking about? Have you seen Mitchell Desmond yet?
Nope, no one has.
You haven't watched film on him?
No one has.
All right,
it doesn't exist. What school did he say?
Mm-hmm. He said Freeland U.
Yeah.
I love Correa, but Correa isn't on Altuve's level. Jeter hit 308 to Carlos is 276. I'll say it again. I love Los, but chill out. I'm putting him with Jeter. I'll tell you this. Los is a much better defender than Jeter ever was. Ever. Ever. And that's not even arguable. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we're going to take a break. And at the bottom of the hour, we got the guys from
Culture. Five Star?
Right? Oh, Five Star we got.
What time are we getting Five Star? 9:30, right?
Yeah, same old.
Yeah.
Culture guys at 9:15.
Same old.
9:15. Gotcha. Five Star 9:30.
Gotcha.
Right now, I'm going to tell you about Maestro Dobel. That's the tequila. I had someone reach out just this morning on Twitter. Hey, what's Adrian Pip Jr.? As a matter of fact, I said it's Maestro Dobel. It's fantastic. I've got one. I've got one at the house. I got one at my refrigerator in here. You know, I haven't hit it yet, the one in the refrigerator, but once I start really digging into the college football tape for the draft stuff, I like to treat myself around 6 with a cocktail at the end of the day. Just one, you know, keep it safe. That's fine. But Maestro Dobel is delicious. Whether you like a really fine sipping tequila or you want something that can work great in a cocktail, they've got you covered. But they also have what they created, their Diamante is in the Cristalino category. And this company is the company that created the Cristalino. And it's charcoal filtered. It's a blend of 3 different types of tequilas. They charcoal filter it, obviously using 100% blue agave. It is created by 11 generations of tequila makers out of Tequila, Mexico. And, I mean, this tequila is something that if you haven't tried it, you absolutely need to put it into your rotation. It's a terrific for cocktails or for a sipping tequila. And there's a variety of tequilas for you to choose one to find one that's just perfect for you. They're also the official sponsor of the PGA Tour and Carlos Ortiz, who is the Houston Open winner just last year. So make sure you check them out for yourself where your local liquor store where fine liquors are sold. It's Maestro Dobel.
ESPN 97.5.